St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's a delight to see everyone who is present. Welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We do have a few announcements. Our food pantry volunteers for tomorrow are Linda and Ernie Champlin and Buck Gilbert. On Tuesday at 10 o'clock, we have Bible study here. Right now, Bible study for us is watching the episode of The Chosen that we will be discussing on Wednesday. And so let's talk about Wednesday. You can see there's a lot going on. At 8 o'clock, we have our men's breakfast over at Southside Grill. All men are invited to attend. At 5 p.m., we have what we're calling the Junior Bell Choir Practice. That is some of our kids who are learning bells along with our more experienced bell players. At 5:45, we will have confirmation. We are not doing youth night, but we are going to have a brief confirmation lesson before we get started with soup supper at 6:15. 6:15, soup supper, right here, right here. And 7 o'clock, worship. So we'll be downstairs for soup supper, and then we'll come upstairs for worship. Please come. Please invite your friends, family, neighbors, anyone you can think of to join us in this time of fellowship. On Thursday at 1 p.m., we have bell choir practice. And next Sunday at 2 p.m., we have our church council meeting. Also, on the first Sunday of the month, we acknowledge birthdays and anniversaries. I wasn't given a list of birthdays or anniversaries. Does anyone have a birthday this month? Month of March. I see a hand go up. All right, I see one hand go up. I see two hands go up. All right, so at least two birthdays. So let us pray for those who have birthdays this month. Good and gracious God, we thank you so much for the gift of life. We thank you for these individuals who are part of our faith community who are celebrating another birthday. Be with them not only on the day of their birth, but be with them through all the days of their life. Walk with them. Let them know that you are walking with them every step of the way in this upcoming year. Just be with them. Let them feel your grace and your love and your mercy as they celebrate another year on this beautiful planet that you have created for us. We ask all things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do we have any anniversaries this month? I see a hand go up. I see a couple hands go up. Yeah, it helps to know when your anniversary is. This is when I feel fortunate because of the date that my husband and I chose for our anniversary. We remember it has something to do with fireworks. So we know it's in July. But for those who are celebrating anniversaries this month, let us pray. Oh, good and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of marriage. We thank you for the commitment that individuals make to spend their lives with each other. And we know, Lord, that marriage is difficult. And marriage can also be a source of great joy. Be with these couples who are celebrating anniversaries this month. Be with them through the good times, through the difficult times. Just give them strength and courage as they walk together with each other and with you. We ask all things in your precious and holy name. Amen. Do we have any other announcements? I see a hand go back. Lois.
I just wanted to report about our fundraiser. Did you get the little thing?
No, I don't have it.
Okay.
So.
I want to thank everybody who participated, and we were able to send a check to the church for $1,550, and we'll add that to our $250 from Thrive-In. So we have a good start on our updating some of our mechanical things. So thank everybody who participated in that project.
Thank you for that update, Lois. What a wonderful event that was when we had a chance to have spaghetti together and to listen to Jean Baum as she talked about the Wyoming antelope hunt. I've been told that people are asking her to give that presentation again. So maybe we will be able to hear part two of her story. So thank you for that report, and thank you to everyone who participated in any way in helping to set up and providing food and cooking food and cleaning up afterward. I have pictures of some of our men who were in the kitchen hard at work. And who were also sitting there taking tickets. So just thank you to everyone, and thank you to those who came and interacted with each other. It was a great, great event. And a good way for us to start taking care of some of the mechanical issues around here, taking care of our thermostat so that we aren't too hot or too cold, and then also creating a fund for the water heater so that it doesn't break and flood, especially when no one's in the building. So the little things we have to take care of, just like your house. If you own a home, you know how it is. There's always something that needs to be worked on. So thank you for helping us with that. Please stand as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who writes the law on our hearts, who draws all people together through Jesus, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Held in God's mercy, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Holy God, we confess that we are caught in the snares of sin and cannot break free. We pour resources while our neighbors are hungry and cold. We speak in ways that silence others and are silent when we should speak up. We keep score in our hearts and let hurts grow into hatred. For all the ways we have not loved you with our whole hearts and have not loved our neighbors as ourselves, for all our sins, those we name aloud and those only you know, forgive us, Lord. Amen. Hear of the abundant outpouring of God's grace. Out of love for the whole world, God draws near to us, breaks every snare of sin, washes away our wrongs, and restores the promise of life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, number 723, Canticle of the Turning.
Thank you.
Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, through your Son, you have called us to live faithfully and
courageously.
Keep us steadfast in your covenant of grace, and teach us the wisdom that comes only through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from Exodus 20, 1 through 17. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in water under the earth. You should not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your town. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, and you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or the ox or the donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 19 responsibly. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork.
One day it tells us to hail to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another.
Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard,
their sound has gone out into all lands, and their message to the ends of the world, where God has pitched a tent to listen to them.
It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course.
It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its perfect.
The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the comb.
By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Who can be judged from his own
above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound, and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Word of God, word of life.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Anyone want to come forward? Okay. Some of you adults can join him as well, you know. Nobody else is brave enough to come up but you. What is this all about? Especially after the last time. Glad to see you. How are you doing today? Your parents said something about cross-country skiing. Yeah, do you like the cross-country ski? Not as much as downhill. Okay. You want to know my opinion about skiing? And that is, I have a hard enough time just on level ground. Do not put me on two sticks and shove me down a hill.
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's... Sorry, that's how I interpreted skiing when we moved to Salt Lake City when I was 13 and I saw small children barely able to walk on skis. It's like, no, I'm too old already. At 13, I figured I was too old to learn to ski. Why do you like to ski? Okay. Yeah, that's my thought. It's freezing. It's cold. It's wet. You fall down. I don't know about this. But, you know, if you want to ski, go ahead. Do any of the rest of you like to ski?
Yes.
Did some of you like to ski back when you were maybe more this age?
No.
You learned as a teen. See, and I thought I was too old already by then. Yeah, there are lots of things that we like. Well, what do you like to do? You like to ski. What else do you like to do?
Play soccer.
Okay.
Sports.
And sports. Okay, the rest of you, what do you like to do?
Read.
I hear golf, I hear read.
Ride horses.
Ride horses.
Tennis.
Tennis? Fish?
Hunt?
Pickleball.
Pickleball. I have to try out pickleball one of these days. It looks interesting, but you probably don't want me on a team. My vision's really poor. Back when I was a teenager and my mother decided that we all needed to learn to play tennis. I remember it was Parks and Rec, and so everyone was supposed to play the game afterward, you know, after we'd learned and we had this competition against other Parks and Rec groups. They asked my parents if I could just please kindly sit and watch everyone else play. It's my way, even back then, it was the ball would come to me, I'd see it. But with most of these things, there are rules, right? Even with horseback riding, there are certain rules, aren't there?
Yes.
Unwritten rules. No one's given you a rule book and said this is exactly how you need to do things. But you learn it after a while, right?
True.
And in skiing, just they probably don't have a rule book for how to ski, but you kind of figure out this is what I need to do in order to not fall down. And this is what I need to do if I'm racing and want to get ahead of other people, right? Okay. And golf, I know golf has rules. You hit the ball and then you chase it. It's kind of like football. You throw the ball, and I always look at football as if everyone just got a job, they could each have a football, and they wouldn't have to go, you know, fighting each other for it. But, you know, I know that others have different opinions about that. But in most of these things, there are rules that you need to follow, right? And in our first reading today, we heard about some rules that we need to follow. Remember what they're called? The commandments, yes. We say that there are 10 of them, and some people number them differently. But can you think of one of those commandments that you heard? Don't lie. Okay, good. Anyone know of one of the other commandments?
Don't murder.
Okay, anything else?
Keep the Lord.
Okay. Keep the Sabbath holy.
Don't steal from your neighbor.
Why do we have these rules? Why did God decide to give us these rules? To protect us is good. Okay.
We're imperfect.
Okay, because we need to be safe. Anyone else have some ideas? Why did God give us these rules?
We're not perfect.
We're not perfect, and apparently we couldn't figure this out for ourselves. Okay, so we played fair. Yeah, apparently we couldn't figure this out, and so God had to give us rules. Do we like rules all the time? One of the first things, if any of you teachers or have been teachers in the past, was one of the first things that you did the first day of school was to tell people what the classroom rules were. Yeah. Why did you have to do that?
So the kids can be responsible and safe.
Okay, so the kids can be responsible and safe. So that everybody knows how to keep everyone safe, how to have order in the classroom, so that you know what the behavior is supposed to be. And if you didn't obey the rules, there were consequences, right? And if you did obey the rules, did good things happen?
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes there were rewards. So we need these rules. We need these commandments. And in one of the scripture readings that we don't have for today, there was someone who was well-versed in the law who came up to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what is the greatest of all the commandments?" And he was thinking not just of these, but of the other more than 600 that were written down. Which is the greatest of these commandments? And do you know what Jesus said? I'll tell you. He said what?
Love God.
And love your neighbor as yourself. So love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole being. And love your neighbor as yourself. And these two go together. If you love God and you love neighbor, you've got it. It's trying to do that on a daily basis that can become difficult. Okay. So let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the rules that you've given us that help to keep us safe, that protect us as we try to learn to live with one another in this world. And sometimes, Lord, you know it's difficult for us to follow what you've told us to do. So give us strength as we try to do what you would have us to do, to love you with our whole beings, our minds and souls and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Just give us that strength as we try to walk in your way. We ask all this in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for coming up.
O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. One of the difficulties during Lent in Season B is that the readings don't seem to have much to do with each other. I always love it when our first reading and our second reading and our psalm and our gospel all seem to have a common theme that is easy to see, and I can just take them and weave them together. And that is not what happens at this time of year. It just isn't. I look at the gospel and I say, what is this supposed to do? When I look in relationship to the other lessons, what am I supposed to do with this? And as I was walking my dog, I thought, this could be a really fast sermon, or this could be a really long sermon. Short sermon or long sermon? Which one would you prefer?
Short.
Short. Why? Why do you want a short sermon? Don't you love to hear me prattle on and on and on and on? I could just get up here and say, love God, love neighbor, and sin him. But I think you want a little bit more than that, don't you? You don't want the sermon to be quite that short. It's, but how do I love God? And how do I love neighbor? And you could say, as we talk about God and God's covenants, that the giving of these commandments was a sort of do-over. The people are coming out of exile in Egypt, where they have been slaves. They are heading toward the promised land. And so these commandments are given to them before they reach the promised land, as a way of telling them how they are to behave toward one another and how they are to respect their God. And it shows up, these commandments, two times in the Bible in slightly different wording, especially the wording in regard to keeping holy the Sabbath. One of them explains that the reason behind that is that God created everything in 6 days and rested on the seventh, and therefore we should do as God did. And the other says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. And we can think of both of those as reasons behind at least one of the commandments. I was reading one commentator who described how most of these commandments can be looked at as how we love our neighbor, including the ones that we think of as just being loving God. I don't know how many of you go perusing through the hymnal, but some of you know that in the very back of the hymnal is the small catechism. Most of you are looking at me like, this is small what? Small catechism, Martin Luther's small catechism, where he takes those things that needed to be taught to people, and he created both a small catechism that was to be taught at home and the larger catechism, which was meant for people who really wanted to understand things. But in a small catechism, he begins with the Ten Commandments. And you can find those on page 1160 and 1161. And I also made some copies in case you want to take it home and look at it. We're not going to go over all of these because most of you have heard about the Ten Commandments. One of the things that I like about what Martin Luther does with it is he puts an explanation down. And with all of them, you'll see that why we have these commandments is that we are to fear, love, and trust God above all things. In each of them, we are to fear and love God. We are to fear and love God. Over and over, he says those words, that they're all based on our love and our respect for God. All of them. So how does our neighbor come into this if everything is based on our love and respect for God? Well, remember back to the beginning of creation, where we are told that God made humans in what? God's own image and likeness. So, if we have a commandment that says, you shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, if we have a commandment that tells us how we are to respect this God who created all things, and then we know that people are created in the image and likeness of God, if we are to respect God's name, should we not also be respecting God's image, as that image is shown in the human beings that we encounter, in our neighbor? If we love and respect God as we say we should we not love and respect the image of God shown in our neighbor? Regardless of what our neighbor looks like, regardless of that person's sex or gender or ethnicity or nationality or anything else we can think of that are ways that we can define and separate each other, that person is made in the image and likeness of God and therefore deserves respect as a bearer of God's image and likeness. And that is what we mean when we say love God, love neighbor. Love God, love the image of God as reflected in our neighbor. And that could be the short way of just saying, and go home and read the catechism and do what it says, and we'll call it good. But it's not that easy, is it? And that's when I look at the gospel. Here we have Passover rapidly approaching. This is the beginning of John's gospel. And in John's gospel, the beginning of Jesus' ministry, where he's going to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem, and he goes into the temple. The temple was a grand place. It was huge. It would have been a wonder to behold. It was a place that you went to pray, to praise God, to make sacrifice. And you made sacrifices for a number of things. We're told that when Jesus was first brought to the temple, when he was just an infant in arms, that his parents brought the sacrifice of the poor, two doves. But in order to buy any of these animals, you didn't bring your own animals. You had to have animals that had no blemish. They had to be a certain type, certain age. And so what you did is you went to the temple and you had to exchange your coins, which generally had the image and likeness of the emperor on them, for a coin that could be accepted in the temple. Those are the money changers. So you changed your money for temple money, and then you used that money in order to buy the dove or the calf or the lamb or whatever it was that you needed to sacrifice. Can you see where there might be a problem with this? Yeah. What can happen with money changers?
They know the rules, but not necessarily do we as common people know the rules.
And they may have a different exchange rate, depending on who you are. It would be easy to not give you the amount of money that you were owed. And what about those selling the animals? Is there a set price for animals, or can they inflate the price to whatever they want? And that becomes a problem. And so Jesus comes in here to this place that is supposed to be holy, and this place that is instead filled with people who aren't necessarily treating each other with the respect that they should be treated, in this holy place, this place that now smells of frightened animals. And he goes through, makes a whip, and drives them all out of the temple. Can you imagine that scene as the sheep are scurrying one direction and calves are going this way and the doves are taking flight and the coins are spilled all over the ground and probably the scramble of some people to get those coins and to grab those animals. And Jesus says, just take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house into a marketplace. And as it says, his disciples remember what was written, zeal for your house will consume me. That he wished for this place to be a place of prayer. And the authorities come to Jesus and say, why are you doing this? Explain to us why you're doing this. And he responds, as he often does, in a way that they don't understand. He says, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. And they look at him and say, but this temple has taken decades to build. What are you talking about? That we'll destroy the temple and in 3 days you can raise it. That's impossible. Not realizing what he's talking about. I think it helps to understand this passage a little bit, to remember what the temple looked like at the time that Jesus was writing it. To remember what the temple looked like. When John is writing this, the temple doesn't look like it did when Jesus was there. As John is writing, the temple's been destroyed. Romans have come through and destroyed most of Jerusalem. And this is written partly as consolation, a reminder to people that even though the holiest place they can imagine has been destroyed, the place of worship has been destroyed. That there is another way to worship. That Jesus, when he is raised, then they understand. His disciples understand that he's talking not about this physical temple, but about the temple of his body. How does this go back to the commandments, to loving God and loving neighbor? These days, we don't need a temple. We have a temple. Jesus is our temple. And we have a way to love God by following the ways of Christ. And we have a way to love neighbor, which is by following the ways of Christ. Love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, your whole being. Love your neighbor who bears the image of God. On this hangs all the law, all the prophets. Amen. Let us join together with our hymn of the day, God of Our Life. You'll find that at the back of your bulletin. our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the church, the well-being of creation, and a world in need.
You alone are God. We thank you for the gift of the Sabbath rest. Awaken the church to the mystery of your presence, and give us glad hearts as we receive the good news of your deliverance. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You renew creation. Drive out those who would make the earth a marketplace. Protect rainforests, mountaintops, oceans, and wilderness areas from commercial exploitation. Unite nations, policymakers, and businesses in efforts to reduce carbon emissions. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
You judge the nations. We pray for an end to war and strife in every land. Strengthen international efforts to negotiate peace and provide humanitarian aid to people fleeing from conflict. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You bring healing and hope. We give thanks for physicians, nurses, researchers, therapists, and public health workers who prevent and treat illness. We pray for any who are sick, especially those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You abide with your people. Sustain any in this community undergoing life transitions, marriage, divorce, childbirth, adoption, moving, graduation, employment change, or a death in the family. We pray for those preparing for baptism. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You bring life from death. We remember our loved ones who have died, confident that they have new life in you, especially those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. May we trust that nothing can separate us from your love. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Accompany us on our journey, God of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings. Thank you.
Let us pray.
Jesus, you are our bread and life, and the host of this meal.
Bless these gifts that we have gathered,
that all people may know your goodness. Feed us not only with this holy food, but with one another for justice and peace. We pray this in your name.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you. Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Thank you. those rooms back.